Good morning, Mosaic.
Good morning.
That's good. It's good to be here this morning. I stand here as a proud granddad. Very proud. Our daughter, Georgia, gave birth to a baby son. I will never forget the date. It's the 26th of the 3rd. 26, 6 pounds, 3 ounces. I mean, you can't make that up, can you? Don't ask me the name, because I don't know. I mean, it's funny how these things, I'm like, they've had 9 months. Nine months to choose a name. And get to the hospital, they say, oh, no. Want to take it home and see what it looks like. Brian, is it a Brian? Is it a Peter? I just don't get it. In my time, you just named the baby. But it's good to be here. It's good to be here this morning. There's another prominent time that we've lived through. And 6 years ago, practically today, 6 years ago today, we hit COVID. And many of us will never forget that time. It was a bleak time. Loved ones died. We were all separated for months without seeing one another. Churches closed down and were meeting online. And it was a time that will be remembered in history forever. There's certain other key times that will be remembered in history, but one of the darkest times in history ever to take place was the crucifixion. It was a dark time, especially for Jewish Christian believers. It was a dark moment in history. And we're going to look at one of the guys who played a part in that. His name is Joseph, and we pronounce him Joseph of Arimathea. He's not spoken about very much in the Bible, but he is an important figure, and he's in all four of the Gospels. So we are going to read all four of the Gospels where he's in the accounts of Joseph of Arimathea. And I'm going to call my disciples up. I chose these guys because they look like disciples. So can my four disciples come up? We have Matthew. Four and a half. Right. Matthew. Who's Matthew? Right, doesn't he look like a Matthew? All right, we're gonna read. They're only short, so we're gonna read these to paint a picture, and then I'm gonna speak. So, over to Matthew.
Okay, Matthew 27, verses 57 to 60. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away.
Cool. Mark.
Nice and in order. Thank you.
So this is Mark 15:42 to 46.
It was preparation day, that is the day before the Sabbath. So as the evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting to the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. When he learned that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph brought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in linen, and placed it in the tomb cut out of the rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb.
Thank you. Mark. Mark. Oh, no, Luke. Luke 23, 50 to 53. No. Luke. Yeah.
Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. And going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and then he took it down, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid.
Amen. Finally, John. John 19, verses 38 to 42.
Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and he took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at the night. Nicodemus bought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it, with the spices, in strips of linen. This was in accordance with the Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb, in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there.
Amen. Give my disciples a round of applause. Thank you. Here are some of the things that I really want to pull out from just in here in the four Gospels. There are things that I want to pull out, what we can learn about his character, Joseph's character. And then there's 3 points that I want to come to that we can apply to ourselves. So here are some of the things that we know about him. He was from Arimathea. Arimathea was a town in Judea. The exact location is not known, but it was said to be in a town in Judea, and it was Arimathea. He was wealthy, so he was a wealthy man. In Matthew, it explicitly describes him as a rich man. He was a member also of the council. So he was a member of the high council. It's called Sanhedrin. So they were responsible for the ruling of Jesus' death. So he was a member of the high council. He was also a follower of Jesus, described as a disciple of Jesus in the Gospels, a disciple. He did not agree also to the condemnation of Jesus' death. So he would have been on that council and he would have been, he wouldn't have voted. He would have not agreed to Jesus' death. He also boldly went to Pilate to ask Pilate for Jesus' body from the crucifixion, which was risky in itself. He took responsibility, something that Joseph did. He took responsibility for Jesus' burial by taking the body, cleaning it. He took personal responsibility and placed him in his own tomb. So he had a tomb made and he placed him in it. He wrapped Jesus in linen cloth, cleaned his body. And finally, he fulfilled prophecy. His actions are seen fulfilling prophecy in the book of Isaiah about the suffering servant being buried with the rich. My question is, What does faith look like in the shadow of the cross? What did Joseph's faith look like? First thing we can learn, it was genuine. He had a genuine faith. Genuine belief in Jesus. He was a secret follower, disciple, and he would have listened, a disciple, he was learned, he would have followed the teachings, he would have been around Jesus as Jesus was with his other disciples and Jesus teaching. He would have been around that. He was a follower. He believed in his teachings. He accepted who Jesus was. And he was giving his life to learning and being a disciple for Jesus. In Matthew 27, it says that Joseph had become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And in Luke 23, verse 50 and 51, it says that he was a good and upright man, but he was also waiting for the kingdom of God. So all of this, all that he's hearing, he's like, yeah, you know, I subscribe to all of that. And I know the kingdom of God is coming. I believe in you. I trust in you. He was a member of the high council. Now, in doing that, I was thinking to myself, how does that play out? How does that weigh up? Someone to be a member of the high council and a follower of Jesus. There's another guy that's mentioned in there, Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was most famous for visiting Jesus privately at night to discuss his teachings in John chapter 3. And Nicodemus was, again, one of these guys. He was a member of the high council of the Sanhedrin. He was a well-known figure. And he seemed to be following Jesus secretly as well. And the reason why they would follow him secretly, because it was dangerous for them to openly admit to following Jesus. Openly come out to say, yeah, I believe in everything. That it would go totally against what the high priest and the leaders in the high council were teaching, because they did not. They opposed Jesus. So they would have been putting themselves at risk. They followed secretly because they feared the Jewish leaders because of what they could do also. The Jewish leaders would not have been a good thing for them to come out. They were constantly critical of Jesus' teaching. So visiting him would have probably damaged their reputation. It's thinking about it, it's like being a Christian. I thought about this and I thought at times it's like being a Christian and being a part of the member of parliament and knowing that there's certain policies that you just do not agree with or stand for. But you're still a part of this party. This is your job. But on the same side, you are not gonna agree with certain decisions. You are not gonna stand for certain policies. You are not gonna, and in some cases, you're gonna make that known. And I almost see it like that. We can think of the persecuted church today. You know, we had Howard come from Open Doors and speak openly about people getting killed for being open about their Christianity and preaching the gospel. People getting thrown into prison. People that are tortured in other countries across the world where you are not allowed to come out openly. You have to hide your faith. So it would have been difficult. We are blessed that we don't have that in this country. Relatively speaking, we can openly share the gospel. We can openly speak about our faith in this country, and you are not going to get thrown into prison. You are not going to get, you know, killed for that. How genuine are you? Do you have a faith in Jesus that says, no matter what the cost or risk, I choose to openly follow and obey you? Because that's what they chose to do. After Jesus' death, he steps forward publicly, risking his reputation and persecution. That's what the cross does. He openly steps forward, choosing to say, you know what? I'm going to put my reputation and my life at risk here because it's worth it. This shows Jesus' death moves people from fear to courage. What does genuine faith look like in the midst of the cross? Well, it is bold. It is bold. Genuine faith for Jesus brings boldness like no other. In following Jesus, Joseph puts himself at risk of losing everything, but he knows it's worth it. For he's been watching, he's been learning from Jesus, and eventually he's witnessing his death on the cross. He's bold because he's no longer hiding as a disciple in secret. He's not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. He's not ashamed no more. He's bold because he's putting his reputation on the line. He's risking it all. So I'm choosing to lay it down for you. Going to Pilate and asking Pilate for the body would have been risky in itself. You know, this is a guy that has just given Jesus over to be crucified. And now here's a guy from the high council, the Sanhedrin, asking for the body. Why are you doing that? Why are you asking that? There must have been questions asked. He's bold because of what he's willing to give. What he's willing to give. He's willing to give it all. Give everything. He's willing to give everything. Joseph's action speaks boldness for Jesus. He's willing to carry the body down from the cross with Nicodemus. This heavy, I don't know if you've ever seen, I've seen a dead body, right? You know, and it ain't nice, right? But the way that Jesus was beaten and the way that he was tortured and the nails and the thorns, you can just picture that. Blood-drenched body. You know, they're carrying this. It's called dead weight because it is weighty. Right, so they're carrying this dead-weighted body. And people have seen them. And not only that, people are knowing that they're members of the High Council. And they're carrying this body down from the cross to clean it, to dress it, to give it a royal burial fit for a king. Does your actions speak boldness for Jesus? Are you still in a place where you are a secret Christian, not willing to let people know who you really are, hiding behind the shadows? Oh yeah, it's my faith. I've heard this so many times. It's my faith. It's personal to me. That's hiding. not willing to risk your reputation or put it on the line because of what people might say or do. See, the cross transformed all of that for Joseph, and he was willing to risk everything for the kingdom of God. You see, being bold for Jesus is not about being loud or getting in someone's face or even thinking, yeah, you know what? It's easy. Being bold is not about, it's not too risky, but it's about acknowledging that he is Lord and Savior, and he is the one who brings us from darkness into glorious light because of what he has done on the cross. Joseph recognized that Jesus' death on the cross is enough, and that he is who he says he is. And that's worth being bold about. It's worth telling people, yo, this is the God that I serve, because he died for my sin. And he dies for yours. Being bold for Jesus is saying, you are who you say you are, and I believe and I trust in your word, and that is enough for me. So I will no longer live just for me. I choose to come out of the shadows and boldly live for Christ, the Christ that saved me. The cross was enough for Joseph. He didn't have the knowledge of knowing the resurrection. He didn't have that knowledge of knowing the resurrection. That was 3 days later. But guess what? We do. We live in the knowledge that he died and then he rose 3 days later, conquering death and the grave. And if that's not enough to celebrate, if that's not enough to shout about, then I don't know what is. If that's not a reason enough to be bold for the king, yeah, then we're wasting our time. Because Jesus is enough. He's enough for you and he's enough for me. The third and final thing is, he was generous. Joseph was generous. Both men took the body, wrapped it in spices and strips of linen. Then they brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes. The myrrh is the same myrrh as the one given in his birth. In Matthew 2:11, the Magi brought gifts. They brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold was for a king. Frankincense was for a priest. I don't know if you've ever been to that in a high church and they've got the smells and the wave and that. You know, when I was reading that, I was thinking of that, smells and bells. And myrrh was associated with death. Myrrh was associated with death and burial. Myrrh was commonly used for embalming and a perfume for anointing oil. So let's not miss that. Even at his birth, myrrh points ahead to the fact that Jesus was born to die. He was born to die. And they had these two spices on their own were costly. They were expensive. It was about 75 pounds. The weight was about 34 kilograms. How much do you think, you can have a guess. How much them two spices in today's market would be? Have a guess. Anyone want to try and have a stab in the dark? £5,000. We've got one at £5,000. Any more? 20,000. One more. No, it wouldn't be a million. Between 120,000 and 160,000 pounds. Them spices. In today's money. Making this an extraordinary gift of intentional act of honor. This was costly. It was a generous gift. It's not loose change. Who's got that to just throw? And all spent on one body. One body. Joseph was wealthy. He had a new tomb cut from a rock in a garden where no one had been laid. Just to do that alone tells you you're rich. The normal criminals' bodies, and this is what they were expected would happen to Jesus, normal criminal bodies would be taken down from the cross and thrown into a big pile of other bodies, big, big mass grave, and just rotted away. Not even thought of, just a mass. Only the rich and royalty were given tombs. And Joseph of Arimathea was saying, you know what? I'm giving you a burial that is fit for the king that you are. No expenses spared. I'm giving you a royal burial. It was also fulfillment of prophecy, Isaiah 53, verse 9, which says, the suffering servant will be buried with the rich. Back then, way back then in Isaiah, they are pointing that Jesus, who hasn't come yet, Jesus would die, would be nailed to a cross, he'd be crucified, and he would be buried in a tomb. He'd be buried with the rich. Way back then. That's the prophecy being fulfilled. He was generous. But he wasn't given out of what he could get from it. He wasn't like, I'm gonna do this because I know that I'm gonna get something from it. I'm gonna get more. He was doing it from a heart of a love for the king. He was doing it out of heart of gratitude. A heart that knew what it was to be loved, be saved. I know that his wealth wasn't his anyway. This is kingdom value. This is kingdom perspective. This is kingdom thinking. It was the heart of the gospel. A heart that came from the gospel that caused him to give out of his own wealth. Do you know what? We can be rich and generous for the kingdom. We can be rich and generous for the kingdom of God. I know people that are rich and generous for the kingdom. It's all about having kingdom values, as I've said, and a perspective. You can have kingdom values and be a millionaire. I want to be a millionaire. I'd love to be a millionaire. I don't think my job's going to allow that. But I'd love to be a millionaire and put the money to the right things. You see, Joseph was stirred by the kingdom rather than personal gains or wealth. When it comes to money in regards to the kingdom, where's your heart at? Are you the type of person that says, what's mine is mine? Or I've worked too hard to give this away. Let me remind you, it's all his anyway. It's all his. What you have is because he's allowed it. He's blessed you with it. He's blessed you with a job. He's blessed you with finances. He's blessed you with all that we have. It's his. We can't outgive God. That's the beauty of this. We need to be generous with one another. We need to be generous inside and outside of the church. And we need to be generous and bless other people. That's the God that we serve. He's a gracious God. He's a good God. He loves to give. This isn't about prosperity gospel. This is about the kingdom. It's about the kingdom of God and his principles and what he's calling me to and what he's drawing us to be and act like. So my question would be, how do you live, or how should we live in the shadow of the cross? Well, first and foremost, we need to be genuine. We need to be genuine Christians. Let's not hide. Let's not pretend we're somebody that we are not. Be you. Be the person that God intended you to be. I love this church. I love you guys. I love you guys turning up every Sunday. I love when we have life. We had life group on Wednesday and it was a blast. It was just good getting together. We ate, we had puddings and we dived into the Word of God. And there's debates and we're discussing Jesus. But don't get outside of that and then hide away and not be who you really are. God wants disciples. We need to be genuine disciples in our faith. Stand up for what God wants you to be. And that, I know not everybody's can be loud like Natty or Johnny. You know, some people choose to be quiet like myself. I mean, can't always get that, but we just need to be genuine on our faith. We need to be bold in our actions. We need to be bold. Boldness that goes beyond just staying inside, not letting people see your bold actions. Boldness in saying, yeah, I believe in Jesus. I don't agree with you in what you are doing. You know, speaking out. Not to get yourself into trouble, but speaking out against sin or against things that are not right. We speak out. We stand up for who we are in Christ Jesus, being bold. Being bold. No more hiding. And generous with everything that we have. Generous in our homes, opening up our homes to people. Generous with our finances. Generous with each other. Generous to the church. That's how we live. In the shadow of the cross. That's how Joseph lived. Came out. Genuine disciple. Follower. Learning. Bold. And he was generous. We're going to respond by taking communion. Together. This is an act of our genuine faith. our belief in Jesus for what he has done on the cross. It's not what me or what Johnny or what Simon or Andy, it's not what we've done. We can stand up here and we can speak and we can sing songs and it's nothing about what we do. But it's all about what he has done, what God is doing. And we can come here today and we can share with one another in remembering what he has done for us on a cross. I know this might not be for everyone, especially if you do not know him. But this is where boldness comes from as well. Boldness to say, I can choose to follow you, Jesus. I can choose to accept you into my life. I believe what you're saying is true. I believe that you are God. I believe that I am a sinner. I believe that I need forgiveness. God is seeking disciples. And if you're in that place where you're thinking, yeah, I want to be a part of that, then I'd love to pray with you. And then you can share with us in communion together as we remember what everything that he has done for us. We want to be genuine. We want to be bold. We want to be generous for the kingdom of God. So, Father God, I thank you. Let's stand to our feet. Father God, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you now, Lord Jesus, that you move us in ways that only you can. Thank you for your loving kindness, your grace. Thank you now, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross for us so that we can be free. Set free from the chains and the bondage that so easily entangles. Lord, help us to be genuine with our faith. Help us not to hide in the shadows. Help us to be bold in who we are in Christ Jesus. And help us to be generous with everything that we have, that you provide for us, that you give. Thank you for this church. More of you. Your wonderful name, amen.